It's decided I'm going to use the handheld today. I just don't feel I can stand in one place. So here we go. You might recall that on the first Sunday in September, I said that we'd start a little series. It was going to be 2 weeks, just looking at some of those things that could be helpful for us as we begin a new term, a new season as a church after the summer. A few topics to set us up well. But this little series seems to be taking on a mind of its own, so we have a few more topics to go, with the odd break. Obviously, last week we had Uganda Sunday. Next week we have Harvest. I'm away 2 weeks' time, so we've got Peter Hayes coming to speak that morning. But I'll pick this up again afterwards. So where have we been then? The first Sunday, if you remember, in September, we looked at serving well and how that helps a church to function and do the things it needs to do to enable us to gather together and to enable us to carry out God's mission. People giving of their time and their gifts to make church work. It's lovely to hear that some of you are planning to come next Saturday morning just to decorate the church ready for our harvest service. We always can do with more people. Some of the groups just need extra helpers. So if you think that God is ever prompting you to help in any way of those ministries that you see around the church, please do speak to me or one of the deacons. 2 weeks ago, we looked at welcoming well and that importance that folk that come to this church are spoken to, are included. They feel at home here. Something, though, I stressed, is not just for me or the leaders, it's for everybody to be part of. This week, I want to look at worshipping well. Worshipping well. We've sung some great songs, great hymns this morning that spoke of how we worship God and the fact that he deserves our worship. I was looking back over the last 17 years and all the various sermons I've spoken and preached on, and probably worship I've spoken on as much as any other topic in those 17 years as a minister. It's an important topic. Let's face it, it's one of the reasons that we were created. We were created to worship God. If you've ever read either of Rick Warren's great books, either the Purpose-Driven Life or the Purpose-Driven Church, you'll know that he rightly points out that worshipping God is one of our purposes here on earth. It's important we do it, and it's important that we do it well. When was the last time I spoke on worship? Well, I'm sure you remember. It was March, April time this year. You've forgotten it. That's okay. I forgive you, sister. It was part of our Habits of the Heart series that we were doing. And on that occasion, I was expressing how, as something that Pete prayed earlier, actually, how worship is not just about what we do on Sundays, but it's about how we worship God throughout all that we do in our everyday lives. And that is absolutely important. You know, as Jesus says in answering the woman that we've just heard about, Sychar, which, as Malcolm rightly says, is on Mount Gerizim. He said, you don't have to be somewhere special to worship God. You don't have to be on that mountain, he says. You don't have to be in Jerusalem. Jesus says, it's not about where you worship. It's about how you worship. He says that what's important is we worship in spirit and in truth. I wonder if you've ever noticed when you've read that, I'm sure you've read that before, in our Bibles, the word spirit has a capital letter. We are to worship in the Holy Spirit. More on that later. So today, I want to look at worship in the context of this little series, this sense of trying to help us to do things well as a family, as a gathered community, as a church. And worshipping well is not just good in terms of the worshipping of God itself, but it goes beyond that. It helps us in other areas. So that I never say the same thing over and over again when I speak on worship, I like to explore further around the topic. And I came across this wonderful quote from the American pastor and writer John Piper. He says, "The inner essence of worship is to know God truly and then respond from the heart to that knowledge by valuing God, treasuring God, prizing God, enjoying God, being satisfied with God above all earthly things. And then that deep, restful, joyful satisfaction in God overflows in demonstrable acts of praise from the lips and demonstrable acts of love in serving others for the sake of Christ." What that speaks to me of is that if we're getting worshipping right, if we are worshipping well, then everything we should be doing will follow correctly. How we act, how we treat other people, how we love other people, how we serve and how we welcome. That will all follow if we are worshipping well. So yes, worshipping God is right to do anyway. And yes, it draws us closer to him. And yes, it should mean that we then put him above all earthly things. But it also affects everything else we do in life. It also affects how we live and how we act. That's how important worshipping well is. So back to the context of this little series, where, as I said, I'm trying to help us do things well as a family, as a gathered community, as a church. What does worshipping well together look like in that context? Let me start by telling you what worshipping well doesn't look like. One of the times I preached on worship was in February 2009 in my last church. And I felt at that time I really needed to do so. We were in the midst of what I can only call worship wars. We were a church of about 180. And there were lots of different opinions on worship then, I can tell you. I remember just prior to that Sunday being on the door saying goodbye to people. And one of our elder ladies came up to the door. I'm going to call her Evelyn. It's only because that's her name. And she... And I went to Evelyn and I said, "How are you?" She said, "I'm not happy. The drums were far too loud this morning." Let me give you some context. Evelyn would sit towards the back of the church. The church was similar to this. The band, because of lack of space, would be where that transept is, although they weren't enclosed. That morning, our drummer, Keith, a lovely guy, a good drummer, he was unwell, so he wasn't even at church. So there's Evelyn saying, "The drums were too loud this morning." I said, "Were they really?" She said, "Yes, it's the worst it's been." I said, "Well, that's really strange." I said, "Keith was unwell. We didn't have any drums this morning." She went bright red and moved sharply out of the church. I realized at that point that people had got so wound up about this subject of worship and what it should be and what it should not be, that they were coming with a mindset of wanting to complain. So I preached on worship in February 2009. I knew that there was a part of what I was going to say where I was going to annoy the entire church. In the middle of my sermon, I said, "Do you know what I really dislike? It's some of those dirged old hymns which go on and on and on because it's verse after verse after verse." Half of the congregation shifted in their seats and pouted their lips at me. And then I said, "And do you know what I get fed up with? It's some of those modern choruses where we repeat the same thing over and over and over again." The other half of the congregation moved in their seats and pouted their lips at me. And then I said, "But I sing them all anyway. I sing them all anyway because I recognize I'm singing to God, I'm praising God. And I'm singing them all anyway because I recognize that really old, long hymn could have been something that helped someone through a difficult point in their life. I said, I sing those choruses because there may be someone here for whom they heard that. It's soul survivor, some event, and it led them to Christ. I said, so all that we sing is important to someone. I said, so I sing them anyway. It was an interesting time. One of the things that kept coming up, which is a bit of a bugbear of mine, I guess, is I used to get this comment, we don't sing enough hymns in church. Folks, everything we sing in church is a hymn. Everything we've sung so far this morning is a hymn. What's the Oxford Dictionary definition of a hymn? A song with spiritual input. Everything we sing at church is a hymn. Not worshipping well also includes, as I said, coming to a service hell-bent on trying to find something wrong with it, as was happening back in that time. So it does happen. Has it ever happened at Worcester Baptist Church? Believe me, it has. There are plenty of things that can give an indication that we are not worshipping well. So what does worshipping well look like? Well, for a start, it's an understanding that what happens here on a Sunday isn't for your benefit or mine. It's for God's. It's not about us. It's about him. And if we understand that, then we can be a little more accepting of all that takes place in a service. We'll sing the songs even if they're not quite our favourite. Or if it's an old hymn, but perhaps done differently, a different tune or different words. You know, I love the traditional version of Amazing Grace. What a great song it is. I love that version we sung earlier. That's why I asked Pete to put it into the audio service. It's equally good. It's good sometimes just to do things a little different. But let's not forget that worship is not just about the singing. Again, something Pete rightly pointed out this morning. During the service, we don't just have a time of worship when we sing. The whole service is an act of worship to God. All that takes place is an act of worship to God. It's about singing hymns of praise. It's about praying. It's about reading God's word. All worship, which we do because God wants us to do it. And we do it to him, and we do it for him. To Jesus. For Jesus. It's not about who leads the worship. It's not about whether the lights are bright or turned down low. And in some churches, it's not about the dry ice. It's true. It's not about whether you stand and raise your hands or you stay sat down. It's not about my preferences or your preferences. Worship is all about God. All about Jesus. It's all for Jesus because he is so awesome and so wonderful that he deserves our worship of him. If we remember this, then that will help us to be worshipping well. And how about this? How about this? How we feel about what actually happens on Sunday has a lot to do with how we approached coming to church that particular day. Did we pray about the service before we came? Don't need to put hands up or not. I'm not asking to do that. Did we pray about the service before we came here today? We should do. We should be praying with an expectancy that God will do something during the service. We should pray and we should come with expectation of what God might do. I'll put here, we should come to church with an expectant expectation. Did you come here this morning in expectation about what might happen? Did you come expecting God to be active, allowing God to be active in your worship of him. Now, I realize that sometimes we come to church, we are not feeling 100%. Things might not be that good in our lives. But we can still come in expectation that we might feel better when we leave because of what God might do. I love this quote from Mark Twain, the author. He kept a diary, and one Sunday he wrote at the end of the day, "I went to church today, and I am not depressed. I certainly hope that we can all at least write that in our diaries at the end of Sundays. And we'll have a better chance of doing so if we pray about the service beforehand. If we come with the right attitude about the service." Let me lay down a challenge. And we've tried this before, but let me try it again. Where possible, before a service, a band that's been practicing, head over into our prayer room, and we just give a bit of time to praying for what may occur. It's not just for the band and the pastor. It's for any of you. Come along. One or two here I can see around have popped in whilst we've been praying. Let's fill that room one Sunday at 20 past 10. Let's fill that room and let's be praying that God is going to do something in the service. Let's be praying for all those who've got any part to play in the service. If we change our mindset of what we might be coming to on a Sunday morning, if we come expectantly, then that will help us to be worshipping well. Jesus said, "A time is coming and has now come where the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers that God seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." As I said earlier, when we're told that we should be worshipping in the Spirit, it's a capital S. We should be worshipping in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should be allowed to play a big part in how we worship. In fact, you know what? If ever our worship Sunday, our worship service on a Sunday morning feels perhaps a little lacking, and maybe that's because we haven't been allowing enough space for the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. If we truly worship in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, then who knows what might happen during our time together. We have to be so careful not to restrict what the Holy Spirit might want to do. That's one reason that I'm never particularly precious about timing. Let's give the Holy Spirit time to move on a Sunday morning. That will help the service to be about God and not about us. If we truly worship in the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit to be active, then that will help us in worshiping well. So to conclude, worship is not merely a pleasant experience that we can take or leave. It's an absolute necessity if our faith is to survive. It's one of the things that we were created for. Our individual faith as Christians is nourished as we worship with others with whom we share that faith. We need to worship to deepen our relationship with God. Because in worship, God speaks to our hearts of his hopes for us. In worship, we recommit ourselves to the plans that God has for our lives. to living as He would want us to live. Worshipping well together strengthens the bonds of fellowship between us. And at the heart of worshipping well together, is Jesus. Because it's Him we worship. It's about Him. It's for Him, not us. But do we come to a service to worship with an expectation that God may move? Do we pray for the service beforehand? And are we prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to be in control? Look, I know that might leave us a little bit feeling uncomfortable and out of our comfort zones, because who knows what He might do? Who knows what He might ask you to do in the service? But how exciting is that? To hand over control to the Holy Spirit. But I have to say, that does excite me. I'm almost afraid to ask this, but does it excite you at all? Well, a couple of smiles, that's something, I suppose. It should excite you. We are people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray, hopefully we are praying, that He continues to fill us to overflowing. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Worshipping well is something else, along with serving well and welcoming well, that will help set us up well for doing the work of God here in the center of Worcester. I pray that we all approach what happens as we worship together as a gathered community with that right attitude and with that sense of expectation. Let's pray together. Father, I just wonder if in those few moments of silence anyone was wondering what is going on. But Lord, I just wanted to give that space in case the Holy Spirit wanted to do something. Father, help us to be open to the truth that we are here to worship you with expectation, and to worship you with the Holy Spirit in control. Father, worshipping well is good for ourselves individually. It's good for us as a gathered community. And it's good because it's about you. Father, I pray that our whole lives are an act of worship to you. But for our times together, Lord, may we truly understand what we are doing. May we truly understand it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I invite you to stand again, and we're going to sing our closing song.